This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is O-Dark 12 right now, 6-12, and the Crescent City Connection twinkling beautifully with, I don't know what color it was at first till I got up on it, then I realized that it was the Pelicans' colors. And the reason is it's still plenty dark because of daylight saving time. But it's going to be a beautiful day today, highs of 70, which, and that's going to be around, oh, say, 6, 7 o'clock or so. So it'll be really nice and beautiful outside. 72 tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. 75 on Wednesday, plenty of sunshine. Thursday, sunny, warm, highs of 81. Some clouds moving in Friday, highs of 80. And then Saturday could be stormy, which is not good because they got some parades scheduled. But we'll see how that plays out. And then Sunday is supposed to be nice with highs of 79. I think Argus and the St. Patrick's Day Parade, Tim Zimmer, are on Sunday, correct? In Metairie? Yeah. So the weather should be nice for that. Let's hope it all times out. I don't know what's going to happen in Washington with the timing of this bill, this 99-page bill to avert a government shutdown, but maybe Dr. Robert Hogan can join us, Professor and Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. This is a 99-page bill. One of the things that I guess became popular years ago, maybe Obamacare, when people started really pushing this, was did anybody actually read the bill? I don't know. Did anybody read this 99-page bill so far? Do they in Congress, or do they have staffers? Each person reads a portion of it and gives them an executive summary.
Well, I think they do read the bill these days, and 99 pages isn't too long. This is a continuing resolution, and so what it does is not all that complicated in many respects. What it means is that they want to continue the budget through September 30th of this year at the current levels that it was last year. And this is the way a lot of people, you know, complain about this, but this is the way that budgets are. I mean, this is a common way now of passing budgets in Congress. That is not to go through the slow and deliberative process for the 12 different committees of coming up with a budget and then having it approved overall. But they basically just say, you know what, we'll just keep funding levels at last year's level and sort of kick the can down the road approach. A lot of people are asking themselves, you know, why are Republicans doing this? I mean, the Republicans won control. They've got control of both houses of Congress and the presidency. Why don't they just come up with a brand new budget that emphasizes their priorities? Because using last year's budget, there are things that emphasize, you know, Biden's priorities. And the simple answer to that question is there's a razor thin margin in the House of Representatives that the Republicans have a majority in there, and they don't have a big majority in the Senate where they need at least 60 votes to control the chamber. So they're hoping that the Democrats, or at least a small number of Democrats, will go along with them on this. And that's ultimately, I think, what they're going to need to get it passed. That is what they will need to get it passed.
Let me jump in one second, Professor, if I can, because, okay, the Republicans got the House, got the Senate, got the White House. the House of Representatives and the White House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So President Trump wanted a big, beautiful, clean bill. He talked about a mandate after having won the election. So you would think the Republicans would be in the driver's seat to produce this one big, beautiful, clean bill. Is it? And I'm using a quotation mark. Right. This is the president.
Sure.
But is that a function of time? Could they not have passed, if you're a hardliner and you want President Trump's one mm-hmm. big, beautiful bill, could they have not passed a one-month continuing resolution and then got to work on this?
Well, I think they want to give themselves time, because what they ultimately want to do is to pass a new budget and that includes continuation of large tax cuts that Trump wants. It's a big priority for him. And these are, in order for those tax cuts to continue, they have to be voted upon again, and also other cuts and changes to the budget. So they're trying to give themselves a lot of room, because they know they're going to need it to be able to get these things through, because, again, the margins in both houses are quite small. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons. The other reason is I think that the Republicans are viewing what's going on right now with Elon Musk and the Doge and all of that cutting of the bureaucracy. This is a new approach to budget cutting in Washington that we've not seen before, in which the president, lays siege to many of the big bureaucracies in Washington, cutting it from the other end, so to speak. Normally, the president tries to sell his package, sell his ideas to the American public, to put pressure on members of Congress to support it. What this president is doing is focusing on the bureaucracy. They're claiming everything that they don't like as waste, fraud, and abuse. And they're hoping that they're going to be able to use that as leverage in budget negotiations in the coming months. So that's a new part, a brand new approach that we're seeing that this president is using that the previous presidents have not. So that's part of what's going on as well. They want to make time for more of this exposure of these problems that they're pointing to in the bureaucracy. They think that's going to give them leverage in further budget cuts later in the year.
But politically, President Trump puts the bully in bully pulpit, right? I mean, let's be honest, he does. And before the midterms,
it's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket busting, 3-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would think the power that he has is as consolidated as it possibly can be.
Absolutely,
so
right.
Does he have, if every Republican would just close ranks and vote along mm-hmm. on this big, beautiful bill, could it get done? Are the votes there? Could it happen?
Well, no. I mean, I think if every Republican in the House of Representatives voted for it, yes, it could pass there. In the Senate, it can't. They only have 53 votes there. They need 60 because this is not part of the reconciliation process.
Oh, okay.
The continuing resolution still requires getting over that 60 vote threshold in the Senate. So even if the House passes it, they're going to have to negotiate to some extent with the Democrats. You're going to have to get some Democrats to support it. And if you recall, I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to even get out of the House with this. Johnson has been unable to pass anything major since he has been Speaker without the support of Democrats. Democrats at the end would come swoop in and in mass, all of them unanimously support what it was that the Democrats decided to vote with Johnson. Johnson was unable to muster support from his own caucus, because there are those members of the Freedom Caucus who really do not like things like continuing resolutions. Now, a lot of them have softened on that position, in part because they view the Elon Musk attempt to going after the budget. They like that, and they want to see that continue. And the way to see that continue is to avert a budget crisis. Because let me put it this way: if they don't come up with a plan by the end of this week, the government shuts down, and there are certain government functions that will cease. And what that means is, the question is, who gets blamed for that? Do the Republicans get blamed for it? And I think a lot of people saying, hey, you all control the government, why can't you make it work? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will blame the Republicans. And I think Democrats are counting on that in a way that they weren't during the last Congress.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU, trying to avert a government shutdown that would happen Saturday if they don't pass this continuing resolution. President Trump on social media saying all Republicans should vote please yes next week. Great things are coming for America, and I am asking you all to give us a few months to get us through to September so we can continue to put the country's financial house in order. That in quotes. That's what the president tweeted. We'll find out when we come back from Dr. Hogan. Does that give Speaker Johnson help when it comes to the Freedom Caucus, which is what did previous speakers in when they courted Democratic votes? 622 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the continuing. Is it one bill, Professor? Is it a one for each month? How does this work technically?
I'm almost certain this is just a vote for a continuing resolution that will keep funding at the previous levels through the end of the fiscal year, which ends on September 30th for the federal budget.
And I should say the professor is Robert Hogan, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. So I asked you before the break, when it comes to political cover for Speaker Johnson courting Democratic votes and the president saying, please vote for this, I would imagine then, after the president's tweet, the Freedom Caucus would say, okay, well, President Trump wants this, let's vote for it, and that would keep him out of trouble and also keep him out of trouble with them for courting Democratic votes. Accurate or not?
No, I think that may be what ultimately happens. I mean, but he's still going to need Thomas Massie from Kentucky has already said he's going to vote against it. So he needs all the other Republicans to vote for it in order for it to pass, and that gives a tremendous amount of power to any one of those Republicans to step up and say, you know what, I'll vote for the bill, but could you add this or could you take this out? And so there's going to be a lot of intense behind the scenes negotiation over the next few days to see if this works. But again, they're going to have to negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate. I mean, in the House, they haven't been negotiating with the Democrats. They cut off those negotiations. But in the Senate, they're going to have to in order to get seven of the Democrats to vote with Republicans for it to ultimately pass. And it's going to have to be the same bill that the House Republicans passed. I mean, the House Representatives passed. It's got to be the exact same bill. So these are very high hurdles that need to be passed in a very short period of time. And Democrats are not likely to swoop in at the last minute and provide support, because I think there is now the perception the person who will get the blame for this will be the Republicans and Donald Trump, whereas before, Democrats were worried that the Biden administration would get blamed for a government shutdown. So a government shutdown is not something that the Democrats fear in the way that they used to.
Let me get to this before we have 90 seconds left here. And I guess it goes to, like you're talking about, the guy from Tennessee, Massie, has a lot of power. It's like, you need my vote, so this is what I need. But when it comes to President Trump, and with the midterms coming up, with his, as he says, mandate that he won when he was elected, then I would think he would never be more powerful than he is right now. Is that an accurate statement or not?
Oh, that's absolutely true. And I mean, most of the time, most presidents, when they're first elected, they come out swinging with a legislative package that they're trying to get the American government, I mean, the American public to accept and get the Congress ultimately to adopt. And they go out and they run around the country and they try to sell it. This president has been doing that. He's been doing it sort of through the back way by attacking the bureaucracy first. And I think that they believe that that will give them leverage later on. Whether that strategy works or not, we'll have to see.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Professor, is this seems like Massey or whoever else is opposing the president, they're staring at him eye to eye and they're saying who blinks first. Is that an overstatement or not?
No, I don't think so. I think that's an accurate way to look at it. And I'm not certain if, I mean, you're right. I mean, Trump is, he can move people's opinion in a way that other presidents have not been able to. So we'll have, this will be a test of his power, certainly.
That's what surprises me, because considering President Trump's history and how hard it was for Republicans to stand up to him before, he is at his most powerful now. So it's going to be interesting to watch this play out politically. Thank you, Professor.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
nice
it.
Nice talking to you.
Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. We'll take a break, come back, talk about DOGE. Right now, it's time for traffic on news, all that stuff on WWL.